Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
A good morning and a happy Wednesday, everyone, here from the Skyview Network Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports360AZ.com. Devin Henry taking over once again, and man, I tell you what, wasn't sure what to expect this morning from the rain last night, but man, you gotta love the smell of rain. You walk outside and you're like, everything's fresh, everything smells good, except for my truck, because now it's super dirty because it rained and there's nothing but dirt in the sky in Arizona. But nonetheless, you gotta weigh the good with the bad, everyone. The good is that it's actually nice outside here in the middle of April. Last night I was doing a softball game over at Liberty High School, announcing the game, and I went out before the game to my truck to put a few stuff away, and I had my sweatshirt. I was prepared. I had my sweatshirt just sitting right there on the chair for me, and I looked up, scattered clouds. I was like, fine, I'm fine, whatever. Walked over to go do the game, and where I was, you're outside next to the opposing dugout, and it's like a wind tunnel right there. I was freezing my butt off. Luckily, I wasn't getting any rain, but man, I was like, I was prepared, I was ready, and I still screwed it up somehow. But it was still great having the rain. It was kind of a nice surprise because I wasn't expecting it, but we got most of the rain around here kind of everywhere, and then when you smell the rain here in Arizona, it's like, yes. So it was a great Tuesday. We're going to bring that over here, bring that energy to Wednesday, and have a phenomenal Wednesday as well here on the Brad Sesmat Show. Candy Wilkerson, our chairwoman of the board, back behind us running the show for us. And we've got a pretty packed show up today. I'm going to talk to Matt McConnell, the Arizona Coyotes TV play-by-play, coming up a little bit later in the show. I'm going to throw some NASCAR in, but we're also going to mix it with some MLS. Getting fancy out here on the Brad Sesmat Show. That'll be an interesting conversation that we have there about what's going on in Nashville right now, actually. And I want to take things away from the major four, because yeah, we're going to talk about the Cardinals and the draft because it's 8 days away, blah 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 blah, everyone's talking about it. So let's get away from the NFL. I'm gonna talk about the IFL. Of course, we can't talk about the AAF, but so we'll go with the IFL, because in case you didn't know, there are two Arizona teams in the Indoor Football League. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Your rundown is brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. Guys, go ahead and just do that with life insurance. Believe me, we don't have it figured out. God knows I sure as heck don't have it figured out, basically ever. Go ahead and give our buddies at Sagicor a call. And like I've said to this before, it doesn't have to be a, you know, I'm going to call right now and put money down, get a plan. Just call them. Make sure that you have everything together and your future is prepared for. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. So like I said, I am going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray and the debate and Rosen, so on and so forth. So let's put the draft back a little bit, first of all. Let's scoot the draft over just a little bit here, and let's just talk about what the Arizona Cardinals have done so far to improve from a 3-13 record in 2018. Number one, January 8th, they hire Cliff Kingsbury. And Cliff Kingsbury's hire was one of those things where I'm like, I think it's going to really be the difference maker in whether or not Larry Fitzgerald decides to stay or not. If you lose Larry Fitzgerald, you have one receiver being Christian Kirk, who's coming back from injury. Well, a couple weeks later, Larry Fitzgerald does decide to come back for at least 1 year and a one-year contract, and the entire state of Arizona freaks out because it's so great to have Larry Fitzgerald remaining here in Arizona playing football and everything that he does for the community. So January was great. You move on over to February, get a couple of linebackers, and you work on the defense here, which is what I really liked. You hired your entire coaching staff, then boom, cornerback Robert Alford, three-year contract. Linebacker Brooks Reed, one-year contract. Then you go out and get Charles Clay because you don't know. The Ricky Seals-Jones situation, was it because he hasn't seen this many minutes before, this many snaps before? Was it because of the offense that was confusing that we heard? We don't know, but now you have that second tight end in Charles Clay. Then you end up going into March, and there's still more moves, even though that you released Josh Bynes. Antoine Bethea is gone. Mike Glennon behind whoever your quarterback, they're gone. Then you end up trading the sixth round pick on over to try to get more defense on this team. And then Kevin White, you get a receiver to kind of add to that receiving core because there wasn't anyone by Christian Kirk. You add J.R. Sweezy, a guard. And then something that I have loved here in the month of April is a couple of offensive linemen from the AAF. So I'm not even looking at the draft, which is one of the great ways to improve your roster. From what the Arizona Cardinals have went out and just bought people, essentially, left and right, I love what they're doing here. Let's get more people on the offensive line. Because if you look at the Arizona Cardinals, the one position that you would say is okay right now is quarterback and running back, I guess I should say, as well, as long as David Johnson continues to stay healthy. Those are the only two solidified position groups that you have for sure, and here we are talking about picking a brand new quarterback in that number one spot in the NFL draft. There's so many more places that this team needs a lot more productivity. Yeah, you have Christian Kirk. Yeah, you have Larry Fitzgerald. You need more than two receivers to last in the modern-day NFL. I do like having a number of running backs, such as DJ Foster, an Arizona guy, who is going to be behind David Johnson. The offensive line, part of the reason why Sam Bradford did not succeed and part of the reason why Josh Rosen got smacked around all year long last year was your offensive line just was not up to par. You flip that to the other side of the line, the defensive line was not necessarily the greatest in the NFL, and then you lose pieces as well. Build that up. Who's going to be opposite of Patrick Peterson? Well, you tried to go and get that settled with Robert Alford. I mean, there's so many spots on this Arizona Cardinal team that needs to be looked at, adjusted, and fixed. Well, okay, let's try to figure that out now. The Cardinals have done that. The Cardinals have added a lot of great positions across the board. And one thing that I think I've mentioned before that in the world of Arizona media, because we've known that the Cardinals are going to have the first overall pick for 4.5 months now, every single person has went through every situation that the Cardinals could do and why it is a bad move and why it is a good move for the Arizona Cardinals. We're not in that room right now. We had Eric Sorensen go out to the press conference yesterday where Steve Keim amazingly addressed the media stating, we don't know who we're going to pick number one. No, of course they don't know who they're going to pick number one yet. The amount of people on social media who are just tweeting the Cardinals, who are you going to pick number one? They legitimately, in my opinion, do not know yet. Why? Because they don't even have their complete board. I don't even think it's done yet. And here we are a couple days before the draft, one day before the draft. I still don't think that even if they do know who it is, there's going to be no report coming out before the draft. We're not going to know until Roger Goodell steps out on that podium and says it. And I mean, we're this close, guys. We're this close to it finally being over. And I'm like, still doesn't bother me that we're 8 days away. Like, I'm done. I'm done talking about Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa. I'm sick of talking about all of them. But at the end of the day, which one of these players is going to help you the most moving forward? Yeah, Kyler Murray is a phenomenal talent. Yeah, he's short, but he's a phenomenal talent. At the end of the day, Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray are going to have phenomenal NFL careers. They both have the talent to do it, and what we've seen from Josh Rosen is that he has the brain. He has between the ears to go out and perform well in the National Football League. That's been proven. But does Kyler Murray help you moving forward more, whether it be under the offense of Cliff Kingsbury or not? Steve Keim said it. I will express it even further. So, the Arizona Cardinals do not know yet who they're going to pick number one, in my opinion, and we're not going to know who they're going to pick until Roger Goodell steps up to that podium. We're going to take a break here because I'm done talking about the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray. Matt McConnell, the TV play-by-play announcer for the Arizona Coyotes, joins us coming up next. We're going to talk about this big kind of flip around of a season that the Coyotes have had and also the NHL playoffs in full swing. Couple of upsets very quickly here in the NHL. You're watching the Brad Testmatch Show on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Devin Henry. So, arguably to me, the biggest surprise was that the best team in the state of Arizona back in 2018 and then moving into 2019 was not the Cardinals, no, not the Suns, wasn't the D-backs either, it was actually the Arizona Coyotes. 39-35-8 last year, most wins in a season since the 11-12 season, and you just look at the difference from last year, they had 16 more points, 10 more wins, and so to talk a little bit about the Coyotes' kind of big flip of a change of the year this season, then also the NHL, a little bit of the draft and a little bit of the postseason. We have the Coyotes play-by-play announcer on the TV side of things. Matt McConnell is with us here on the Brad Testmatch Show. And first off, now that you are away from the ice a little bit here and summer vacation's coming up, what does your offseason look like?
Well, Devin, it's unfortunately it's another early off season, but I do think the team has turned the corner, and you know I'm one of these guys that stays in the valley and deals with 115 degree temperatures, thinking about next season. So just a few personal things with the family, and then I'll be ready to go in September for training camp.
And it always feels like that season, like the off season is supposed to be X amount long, and it never ends up feeling that way. So with the Coyotes kind of turning the corner, from what you saw, what was the biggest change? Because 10 wins isn't anything just to brush off. What was that biggest change that you saw from now, I guess, 2 years ago to this past season?
Well, I you know what? I think it's a couple things, Devin. I think number one, you know, they really hit their stride defensively this season under Rick Tocchet and his staff. They were tremendous, and I think they bought into the fact that a lot of times good defensive play can lead to offensive opportunities at the other end of the ice. It was a real buy-in by committee type of mentality. The team didn't end up having a 20-goal scorer. They had two in Brad Richardson and Alex Galchenyuk that finished with 19 apiece. But defensively, I thought they really kicked it up a notch. I think they were able to play that suffocating style in the offensive zone. They were able to get their forecheck going in a big way because of their speed. And the other side of it, the big story was the goaltending in Darcy Kuemper. Here's a guy that I think has always looked for an opportunity to be a number one goaltender. And when Antti Raanta went down to injury in Minnesota back in November, you know, a lot of people around the team thought, oh boy, this could be it. Could be a real long rest of the season. But Darcy Kuemper, you know, right around the first of the year, got his game in order. And he was a real, real big story and ended up being the team MVP when it was all said and done. And now is in the conversation as a Vezina candidate for the best goaltender in the league. So his numbers were terrific. But I think the buy-in defensively and the speed on the forecheck and what they were able to do between the pipes with Kuemper, those were the big stories I think that we'll all take forward after we think about this season down the road.
And one story that I think every Coyotes fan wants to leave behind them going into this next season is another big story was just the injuries. Just one Coyote goes down after another and another. Oh. And, you know, that's part of why you can say there wasn't a 20-goal shooter because, well, quite frankly, it didn't seem like the whole team was ever on the ice together all year long. But how did this team end up coming together? And when they were so close to the postseason, it was almost a surprise because you go, man, it seems like every week there's an announcement that someone else is out for an extended period of time. But nonetheless, it was a team that made a playoff push at the end.
Yeah, and you know, you're dead on, Devin, about the injuries. I'll tell you what, they did not. If you go back to the beginning and with Jacob Chychrun, one of their young defensemen, being out of the lineup, they did not have their number one lineup in for the entire season because Chychrun comes back, Raanta goes down. They acquire Nick Schmaltz from Chicago. He plays 15, 20 games. He goes down, and it was a revolving door that way. I think you got to give credit to the coaching staff, and you've also got to give credit to the resolve of the players that were there. And I'll tell you what, the coaching staff gets a lot of credit because they trusted some of the role players to step up. They gave them opportunities. Guys in Tucson that came up and made significant contributions. Connor Garland, who ended up double digits in goals, I think he's a guy that might not even see the light of day up with the big club had there not been so many injuries. So now they know what Connor Garland can do. They know what some of the other role players can do. Guys like Josh Archibald and you know, Lawson Krause took a huge step forward after pretty much playing the entire season the year before down in Tucson. So I think they got a lot of answers, but I think the coaching staff did a real good job to empower the players that were healthy to kick it up a notch and really take advantage of their opportunity, and it got them through. I remember talking to the coaches, I think it was John McLean, one of the assistant coaches, back in, you know, February, and it was about that time when the team was getting a little bit healthier. And he said, you know, this is the time of the season. We just got to get through. We got, you know, if we can play 500 hockey or a little bit better and stay relevant in the race, you know, that's what we got to do right now, because we're down the road, we're going to get some bodies back. And that's exactly what they did. And so I give all the credit in the world to the coaches, and I give all the credit in the world for that group in the room, keeping it tight and close-knit and you know, being able to get along and do what they did.
And looking into 2019, 2020, you mentioned the Coyotes made quite a few transactions, and they learned quite a bit about those young guns who had to come up and step up and who's going to be on an NHL roster next year. Draft pick number 14 this offseason, but what are the biggest priorities for the Arizona Coyotes?
Scoring on the wing. They've got to figure out a way, and this was something that their general manager, John Chyka, said on exit day a couple of weeks back. They got to find additional offense, and they've got to, you know, they're okay down the middle. I think they're set there, but they need to find some scoring help on the wing. And whether that's via free agency come July 1st or whether that's via a trade, that remains to be seen. They were 30th and 31st in the league pretty much throughout the season in 5-on-5 scoring. So they need to improve in that area. Which way John Chyka goes, that remains to be seen. If you look at his track record, he prefers to go the trade route instead of free agency. Free agency can get a little bit pricey and expensive, but he's done a real nice job swinging trades, using his cap space as an asset. And I would be shocked if we don't see that route sometime this summer. He's going to do everything he can to improve the scoring on this team, and especially on the wing. And it should be a fascinating summer to see what he can pull off.
We're talking to Matt McConnell, the Arizona Coyotes TV play-by-play announcer. Let's move to the postseason now. And the first round is almost over. It feels like two teams have already moved on, but you know, last year's huge story was the Las Vegas Golden Knights going to the Stanley Cup. And for a moment there, it looked like they might have just become the first ever expansion team, essentially, because, you know, the first ever championship was won by a first-time team. But nonetheless, they almost looked like they were going to win that championship. I went to Las Vegas over summer, deep after the playoffs were over, and there was still Golden Knight memorabilia and logos all over the strip in Vegas and everything. But you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to make that kind of run again. It looks like they will move on past the first round. But I guess the big story right now, I should have called you last week and asked you for a hot topic or something. Tampa Bay's gone. Best team in the NHL swept in the first round. Is there another big headline hot take that we might have going on here in the playoffs?
Well, I'll tell you what. You mentioned the Lightning, and you also have to mention the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
In fact, Devin, last night, in the span of about an hour, not even an hour, 228 regular season points were wiped out of the playoffs between what Tampa Bay put up in the regular season and what Pittsburgh was able to put up as well. It just proves to me that all you need to do is get in, because the parity in hockey is such it's the greatest parity in pro sports, and you know what, it's been that way for a while. If you go back, you know, you think about the Los Angeles Kings winning a Stanley Cup as an 8 seed. Now you've got the Columbus Blue Jackets as an 8 seed knocking off the President's Trophy winning and really coming off a historical 60 win season in the Tampa Bay Lightning. You've got an older and a little bit slower Pittsburgh Penguins team going down in four to an Islanders team that just has a suffocating forecheck and plays a real, real smart brand with Barry Trotz. So I think, you know, it just shows the parity. You get in, you've got a legitimate opportunity to move on. And your point about the Vegas Golden Knights, I think, is a very valid one. You also need to have goaltending in the playoffs. Martin Jones is not really being the stalwart that the San Jose Sharks need. They're on the brink of elimination. And at the other end for Vegas, you've got the Stanley Cup champion from the Pittsburgh Penguins days, Marc-Andre Fleury, plus a roster of really talented players led by a guy like Mark Stone, who came over from Ottawa. He had another big night in game number four. So it's really fascinating right now, and it would not surprise me if we see additional upsets along the way.
and with a couple of those best teams gone, is there a team or two where you go, man, these guys have maybe not the easiest path, but the best path for that team to get all the way to the end?
Well, I think defense, I'm a firm believer that defense does win championships. I think the New York Islanders have really gotten my attention in the East. And I also think the Columbus Blue Jackets are a team that are going to be a very, very tough out. Now, they're going to get the winner of the Washington-Carolina series. And don't forget, Columbus, you know, they've been very good defensively, and it looks like their goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky, has kind of gotten over that playoff hiccup that he always seems to have come postseason play. They're going to be a very tough out. They loaded up at the deadline. They brought in Matt Duchene and Ryan Dzingel and some really good veteran forwards up front. So I think it's anybody's cup. I really believe that. I know that, you know, really doesn't give you an answer, but I think especially in the West, it's wide open. And, you know, in the East, we'll wait and see. The cup champions are still alive. The Capitals will be a tough out. But I think you could throw a blanket over the remaining teams and make an argument why each of them has a legitimate chance to go all the way.
And, Matt, before I let you go, I do want to talk about hockey in the desert, a spot where I think some might say hockey shouldn't be there because, of course, ice melts here 10 or 11 months out of the year. But the Arizona Coyotes, best season in 7 seasons. And then you look at Arizona State hockey, they end the year ranked nationally 15th and only a couple of years playing full-time NCAA seasons. And, of course, the big story coming out of the Sun Devils is Joey Decord is playing for the Ottawa Senators. He started and played about the whole game in the final game of the season for the Senators. What does the future of hockey in this state look like to you?
I think it's as bright as any place. You know, it's so fun to watch, and we should not discount what Arizona State has meant to the state of Arizona in terms of the way they've been able to develop the hockey around the state. You know, the Coyotes have a tremendous grassroots program. They do some great things in the community. The Arizona Coyotes Foundation is committed to giving back to the community. And I do think that one of the keys in developing these great young players in our state is the fact that they're getting great coaching, because so many of our former NHL players end up retiring here. And what's not to love about living here? I mean, it's a great place year round. So these kids are getting great coaching from, you know, the likes of a Tyson Nash or a Shane Doan or a Ray Whitney, you know, all these players that have stuck around. So I think it's going to continue to get better. I think the Joey Decord story is a fabulous one. You know, here's a kid that, you know, I don't want to call him an afterthought, but maybe so as a mid to late round pick by the Ottawa Senators. And now he's had his first taste of the National Hockey League. Arizona State's getting their arena built here in the next year or two. Greg Powers, Alex Six, the rest of that staff has done a tremendous job in Tempe. So it really is becoming a destination, and the fact that the Coyotes appear to have turned the corner, I think it's exciting for the future for all of us.
Matt McConnell, the TV play-by-play voice for the Arizona Coyotes, which we still have you going over the TV speakers this time of year, but nonetheless, we're going to have to wait until next season to get you back on those Coyote games. Matt, thank you again for your time and your insight.
Oh, you got it, Devin. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure having you. That's Matt McConnell once again here on the Brad Says Matt Show. Coming up next, we're going to move still indoors, but we're going to move out of the 4 major sports, Indoor Football League. We're going to talk a little bit about the Arizona Rattlers coming up next year on the Brad Says Matt Show. I'm Devin Henry. Welcome back to the Brad Says Matt Show on Sports 360 AZ. Great having Matt McConnell here on the show with us, talking some Coyotes hockey. Excuse me, that was weird. I did want to mention, though, I'm scrolling across Twitter and I find that there are college students in Vancouver living in mansions for $1,000 a month so that the absent owners, because they're bouncing around houses, don't have to pay a brand new vacant home tax. I guess I want to move to Vancouver now. That works for me, dude. I want to live in a mansion for $1,000 a month. Anyway, besides the point, I'm just really interested in that. No, something that you should be really kind of interested in is the sports landscape in the state of Arizona. Already mentioned about all the national championships coming here to Arizona. Final Four, college football, Super Bowl, and then NASCAR's bringing their championship. And the world of sports in Arizona continues to grow and grow and grow, whether it be in the high school side, which we talk about in AZ Audibles on Brass Test Map Football AZ all the time about how much the high school football scene is growing. Football in Tucson is also growing, not just the great program over at South Point Catholic with Bijan Robinson, but there is a indoor football league expansion team in Tucson, for those of you guys who don't know. I went to an Arizona Rattlers game last year as a fan, their playoff game, had an immense blast. The Rattlers are arguably the most consistently great team in the state of Arizona, regardless of what tier of sports you're talking about. But for the second time this year, first of four meetings, the Arizona Rattlers matched up with the Tucson Sugar Skulls in the IFL. And of course, because the Rattlers are really spectacular, they went out and they won the game, and they are now 6-0, one of two undefeated teams left in the IFL. But you look at the top five of the indoor football league, 40% of the top five is teams from the state of Arizona now, with the Sugar Skulls being 3-3 so far this season. So it brings up the point that Arizona sports is continuing to grow, even if it is in something like the indoor football league, which groups like the IFL and then the AFL, the Arena Football League, have constantly been talking about. You know, they need to shut down a year, they need to remove teams, but this is a product that has added teams, both in Tucson and San Diego, which in my mind is very cool. But they play at Tucson Arena, about 4,100 fans. I know that's not the greatest turnout in the world, but I mean, this is the home of the Tucson Roadrunners, U of A hockey, and actually, they have Rodney Carrington coming on June 1st, so that's actually that's a great gig right there for Tucson Arena. But, you know, this is just another entity that comes into Arizona and has the ability to succeed in this state, in my mind. And I think that this is a phenomenal, because when this initially came out, Kevin Guy, who's the head coach and the GM of the Rattlers, he's the co-owner of this Tucson team, the Sugar Skulls. Some people thought that this was a terrible idea, having someone from another team owning fellow teams in this league. I think it's a great idea if it keeps you up and running and growing at a steady pace. Personally, I like the product that gets put on the field in the arena and indoor football league, because especially nowadays, everything is about scoring points, and this is exactly what this league is about, scoring 70 points per game or some random number like that half the time, it seems like. But I think that this is a phenomenal thing for the state of Arizona, having a pro, minor league, pro, amateur, whatever you want to call it, team down in Tucson for those patrons to go out and enjoy a professional football game besides college athletics at U of A, which I'm not saying is a bad thing or anything, but it's just one more thing to have where in the state of the city of Glendale has some great stuff because of all the championship stuff happening in the West Valley, but the Metro Phoenix area has so many great sports entities. All four major sports, MLS, NASCAR, so on, so forth. With the world of sports growing in Arizona, I love the fact that there are multiple teams in a league. You have that all the time in California, in Texas, but the fact that the Sugar Skulls are not just in, you know, a Metro Phoenix area, it's somewhere else that can succeed in having a sporting group. And when you look at the Sugar Skulls, it doesn't sound like that, you know, that bad of a team. It sounds like one of those really weird sounding minor league baseball teams, like the Churros or something. Would like, that'd be weird. But actually, the Sugar Skull logo, if you haven't seen it, I love these guys' Sugar Skull logo. It looks pretty dang bad in a good way. But I just want to touch on that. The IFL has a 17-week season like the NFL does. Yeah, you play like every team three or four times, but it's still a 17-week season where this indoor football league is seemingly growing. And Arizona is playing a huge part in that by having two teams in this league. It's a phenomenal thing for the state. It's a phenomenal thing for the communities that these two teams are housed in. And I can't wait to see more of it moving forward and hopefully hit up a couple of these Rattlers games in this 2019 season. We'll take one more quick break here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. When we come back, I do want to talk some more stuff in the shadows going on. We're going to move out to Nashville, Tennessee, in a agreement, a partnership that could possibly correlate between a potential NASCAR track and an MLS team. Might something like that be able to help out the state of Arizona in continuing their sports growth here in the state? We'll talk about that next here on the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Devin Henry. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports 360 AZ. Great having Matt McConnell here on the show with us, talking some Coyotes hockey. Excuse me, that was weird. I did want to mention, though, I'm scrolling across Twitter, and I find that there are college students in Vancouver living in mansions for $1,000 a month so that the absent owners, because they're bouncing around houses, don't have to pay a brand new vacant home tax. I guess I want to move to Vancouver now. That works for me, dude. I want to live in a mansion for $1,000 a month. Anyway, besides the point, I'm just really interested in that. No, something that you should be really kind of interested in is the sports landscape in the state of Arizona. Already mentioned about all the national championships coming here to Arizona. Final Four, college football, Super Bowl, and then NASCAR's bringing their championship. And the world of sports in Arizona continues to grow and grow and grow, whether it be in the high school side, which we talk about in AZ Audibles on Brad Sesmatt Football AZ all the time about how much the high school football scene is growing. Football in Tucson is also growing, not just the great program over at South Point Catholic with Bijan Robinson, but there is a indoor football league expansion team in Tucson, for those of you guys who don't know. I went to an Arizona Rattlers game last year as a fan, their playoff game, had an immense blast. The Rattlers are arguably the most consistently great team in the state of Arizona, regardless of what tier of sports you're talking about. But for the second time this year, first of four meetings, the Arizona Rattlers matched up with the Tucson Sugar Skulls in the IFL. And of course, because the Rattlers are really spectacular, they went out and they won the game, and they are now 6-0, one of two undefeated teams left in the IFL. But you look at the top five of the indoor football league, 40% of the top five is teams from the state of Arizona now, with the Sugar Skulls being 3-3 so far this season. So it brings up the point that Arizona sports is continuing to grow, even if it is in something like the indoor football league, which groups like the IFL and then the AFL, the Arena Football League, have constantly been talking about. You know, they need to shut down a year, they need to remove teams, but this is a product that has added teams both in Tucson and San Diego, which in my mind is very cool. But they play at Tucson Arena, about 4,100 fans. I know that's not the greatest turnout in the world, but I mean, this is the home of the Tucson Roadrunners, U of A hockey, and actually, they have Rodney Carrington coming on June 1st, so that's actually that's a great gig right there for Tucson Arena. But, you know, this is just another entity that comes into Arizona and has the ability to succeed in this state, in my mind. And I think that this is a phenomenal, because when this initially came out, Kevin Guy, who's the head coach and the GM of the Rattlers, he's the co-owner of this Tucson team, the Sugar Skulls. Some people thought that this was a terrible idea, having someone from another team owning fellow teams in this league. I think it's a great idea if it keeps you up and running and growing at a steady pace. Personally, I like the product that gets put on the field in the arena and indoor football league, because especially nowadays, everything is about scoring points, and this is exactly what this league is about, scoring 70 points per game or some random number like that half the time, it seems like. But I think that this is a phenomenal thing for the state of Arizona, having a pro, minor league, pro, amateur, whatever you want to call it, team down in Tucson for those patrons to go out and enjoy a professional football game besides college athletics at U of A, which I'm not saying is a bad thing or anything, but it's just one more thing to have where in the state of the city of Glendale has some great stuff because of all the championship stuff happening in the West Valley, but the Metro Phoenix area has so many great sports entities. All four major sports, MLS, NASCAR, so on, so forth. With the world of sports growing in Arizona, I love the fact that there are multiple teams in a league. You have that all the time in California, in Texas, but the fact that the Sugar Skulls are not just in, you know, a Metro Phoenix area, it's somewhere else that can succeed in having a sporting group. And when you look at the Sugar Skulls, it doesn't sound like that, you know, that bad of a team. It sounds like one of those really weird sounding minor league baseball teams, like the churros or something would, like, that'd be weird. But actually, the Sugar Skull logo, if you haven't seen it, I love these guys' Sugar Skull logo. It looks pretty dang bad in a good way. But I just want to touch on that. The IFL has a 17-week season like the NFL does. Yeah, you play like every team three or four times, but it's still a 17-week season where this indoor football league is seemingly growing, and Arizona is playing a huge part in that by having two teams in this league. It's a phenomenal thing for the state. It's a phenomenal thing for the communities that these two teams are housed in, and I can't wait to see more of it moving forward and hopefully hit up a couple of these Rattlers games in this 2019 season. We'll take one more quick break here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. When we come back, I do want to talk some more stuff in the shadows going on. We're going to move out to Nashville, Tennessee, in a agreement, a partnership that could possibly correlate between a potential NASCAR track and an MLS team. Might something like that be able to help out the state of Arizona in continuing their sports growth here in the state? We'll talk about that next here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. I'm Devin Henry.